Okay, so are you ready to go on a little adventure with me today?
Always up for an adventure.
All right, excellent. The Church of Tinkerbell podcast.
Faith, imagination, the power of belief.
Love and acceptance to make the world a better place.
What would happen if we all just tried to see the world through the eyes of a child again, even for a moment?
It's a beautiful thought, isn't it?
It is.
The Church of Tinkerbell.
The Church of Tinkerbell. All right, I'm intrigued.
As May 2025 marks Mental Health Awareness Month, we're turning our attention to something that really touches every single one of us in some way.
Exactly. Yeah. While we often think about mental health in, you know, specific situations, maybe a crisis, this month really pushes us to take a broader look.
A much broader look. Wow. What does it mean for everyone?
Right.
Absolutely. So we're digging into insights from a really thoughtful piece. It's called Mental Health Awareness Month: Why It Matters for All of Us. And it's from the Church of Tinkerbell blog.
And our aim today, it's not just about diagnosed conditions or like crisis points.
No.
We want to really understand why mental well-being is so fundamental for each of us, no matter what's going on in your life right now.
So the core questions we're tackling are, well, why should you personally care about mental health?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe more practically, what are some concrete things we can all actually do, you know, for ourselves and for the people around us?
Let's get into it.
Okay, so let's unpack this. One of the first things the blog post brings up is how often we sort of separate physical and mental health.
Yeah, like they're totally different things.
Right. Even though they're so clearly intertwined, he uses this great analogy like, you wouldn't ignore a broken leg, would you?
Of course not.
Or a cough that right. just won't go away.
Mm.
So why would we ignore, you know, persistent emotional pain or that feeling of being completely overwhelmed by stress?
It really makes you stop and think, doesn't it? And what's fascinating is how the piece underscores that mental health, it genuinely permeates every aspect of our lives.
Every single one.
It's way beyond just feeling happy or sad. It shapes how we handle difficulties, how we experience joy.
Our ability to cope, right?
Yeah, our capacity to handle life's ups and downs. And even, you know, our ability to form meaningful connections and, well, grow as people.
And it's not just abstractly emotional. There are real, tangible physical effects. The article points this out clearly.
Oh, definitely.
Things like ongoing stress, anxiety that isn't dealt with, depression, are not just in our heads.
No, they manifest physically.
They can actually contribute to significant physical health problems.
Mm-hmm.
Things like heart issues, a weakened immune system, problems with sleep.
Big ones. And, you know, chronic stress can actually lead to increased inflammation in the body.
I did read that.
Oh.
And inflammation is linked to just a whole range of issues, both physical and mental.
Exactly. It really highlights that caring for our minds is a critical part of looking after our bodies, too.
So true.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the blog post makes this really astute point about relationships, how our mental well-being profoundly influences them.
How so?
Well, think about it. When we're in a healthier mental space, we tend to be better listeners, right?
Mm-hmm. More present.
More present, more empathy. We're better equipped to work through disagreements constructively.
Okay, that makes sense.
But conversely, when our mental health is suffering, it can unfortunately lead to, you know, feelings of isolation, strained connections, even with people we're really close to.
So our internal state really affects our external interactions.
Massively. It sets the stage.
And it spills over into work too, doesn't it? Productivity, purpose.
Absolutely. Whether it's at our jobs, school, even just personal projects at home, our mental state significantly impacts our focus, our creativity.
Your motivation.
Motivation, definitely. Yeah. And that sort of fundamental sense of meaning in what we're doing.
It makes you wonder how many people might be, you know, underperforming or feeling a bit lost simply because their mental well-being isn't quite there.
That's a huge factor. So precisely, the core message that really shines through is this: mental health is health, plain and simple.
Not optional, not secondary.
Not at all. It's absolutely fundamental to our overall well-being. And just like we proactively try to maintain physical health, you know, diet, exercise.
Yeah, the things we know we should do.
Right. The same kind of ongoing attention and care is essential for our minds. It's not just about reacting to a crisis.
It's about nurturing it consistently, proactively.
Exactly. Nurturing our mental well-being all the time.
Okay, so the blog then takes this important turn. It addresses that kind of not my problem thinking.
Ah, yes. The idea that someone else's struggle doesn't affect me.
Right, and it presents a really persuasive case for why mental health should matter to you, even if you think it's someone else's issue.
And what's crucial to grasp here, I think, is the web of interconnectedness the article describes. It paints a really clear picture.
How so?
Well, when one person's mental health declines, it sends out these ripple effects. They touch so many others.
Okay, like what?
Think about family dynamics, think about a workplace productivity, general mood, interactions.
I can see that.
The strength of friendships, even the overall well-being of a whole community. It's less like isolated incidents and more like a network. Every point is connected.
So supporting mental health isn't just charity then?
Not just charity, no. The article frames it as a shared investment, a genuine investment in our collective well-being.
Yeah.
It's recognizing that when the people around us are mentally healthy and functioning well, we all benefit in the long run.
A rising tide lifts all boats kind of thing.
Precisely.
And the blog gives some concrete examples of these ripples, right?
Yeah, really relatable ones. Like, imagine a colleague struggling with depression.
Okay.
That might show up as, say, lower productivity, maybe increased irritability. And that can unfortunately affect the entire team's morale and output.
Right, it drags things down.
Or think about a friend dealing with anxiety who, you know, frequently cancels plans because they feel overwhelmed.
Yeah, that can be tough for everyone involved.
It leads to feelings of isolation, maybe strains the friendship. And within families, unresolved trauma. Well, that can sadly manifest in challenging behaviors that really damage relationships, sometimes across generations.
Wow. So it really highlights how our response matters, doesn't it?
Hugely.
The piece emphasizes approaching these situations with, like, genuine compassion and support.
Yes. Rather than judgment, rather than stigma, which is so damaging.
Creating environments where people feel safe enough to be vulnerable, that seems key for healing.
Absolutely essential. And a key insight here is the powerful reminder that, look, mental health challenges don't discriminate.
No.
They can affect absolutely anyone, regardless of background, social standing, how resilient someone seems.
Life throws curveballs, right?
Yeah.
Trauma, grief, stress, illness.
Exactly. Significant life events. They can impact anyone's mental well-being. It just underscores that shared human vulnerability.
So, ultimately, the argument is that fostering a world where seeking help is normal.
Seen as courageous, even.
Yeah, courageous, not shameful. That kind of world benefits absolutely everyone.
It contributes to a more supportive, more understanding, and ultimately, well, a healthier society for all of us.
Okay, so shifting gears a bit, the article also gives some really practical, actionable guidance. How can we take care of our own mental health?
Yes, this part is crucial. And it starts with clarifying something important. Self-care isn't about chasing this constant state of, like, forced positivity.
Right, that sounds exhausting.
It is exhausting. Instead, it's about the ongoing process of building our inner resilience, our ability to bounce back.
Okay, so tangible strategies. What does it suggest?
First, it highlights becoming aware of our own personal stress signals.
What do you mean?
Those unique physical or mental cues, you know? Maybe it's headaches for you, or muscle tension, or your thoughts start racing.
Ah, okay. Your body's warning signs.
Exactly. Recognizing those early signs, it gives you a chance to step back, take action before things escalate too far.
Got it. What else?
Then it emphasizes the power, often underestimated, of small, consistent, daily rituals of self-care.
Small rituals? Like what?
Doesn't need to be huge. A 10-minute walk outside, a few moments of just focused breathing, dedicating time to a hobby you actually enjoy.
Or journaling, maybe.
Journaling, absolutely. These small, regular habits, they really build a strong foundation for our overall mental well-being.
That makes sense. Consistency over grand gestures.
Precisely. And another really crucial point the blog makes, reach out.
Don't isolate.
Don't isolate. When you're going through a tough time, reach out to people you trust. Sharing that burden with someone safe can provide just immense relief and perspective.
It's a reminder we're not meant to carry everything alone.
We're really not. And in today's world, this next piece of advice is so relevant. Limit toxic inputs.
Okay, what are toxic inputs? Doom scrolling.
Doom scrolling is a perfect example. That endless scrolling through negative news or maybe online interactions that consistently leave you feeling drained or anxious.
Right. Setting boundaries around that stuff.
Absolutely essential for protecting your mental space.
It also touches on the physical side again, doesn't it? Movement.
Yes, incorporating regular movement. Doesn't have to be intense gym sessions. Any physical activity you find enjoyable and sustainable.
Walking, dancing, gardening.
Anything. And crucially, prioritizing rest and sleep. These aren't luxuries.
No, they're vital. Think how much harder everything feels when you're sleep deprived.
Exactly. They're pillars supporting our mental and emotional health.
Okay, and what about professional help?
Finally, yes, and this is such an important message. The article really normalizes seeking professional help when you need it.
Therapy, counseling.
Therapy, counseling, support groups, even medication if appropriate. These are all valid, powerful tools.
And reaching out for that kind of support.
It's reframed not as weakness or failure, but as an act of strength, an act of self-awareness.
That's a powerful reframe.
Isn't it? And it all comes together with this final crucial piece. Self-compassion.
Being kind to yourself.
Yes. Just like you'd offer understanding to a friend who's physically ill, we need to extend that same patience, that same kindness, that same understanding to ourselves when we're facing mental health challenges.
Treat ourselves like we'd treat a friend. Easier said than done sometimes, but so important.
So important. Now, turning our attention outward again, the blog offers equally valuable insights on supporting the mental health of people around us.
Right, because sometimes you want to help, but you don't know how.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It acknowledges that it can feel a bit daunting. You worry about saying the wrong thing, maybe making it worse.
Yeah.
But the core message here is that often, just being present with someone,
yeah,
offering genuine empathy, that could be far more powerful than feeling like you need to have all the answers or fix everything.
Just being there is enough sometimes.
Often, yes.
Yeah.
And the article gives some really practical steps. First, listen.
Just listen. Without jumping in.
Actively listen. Mm-hmm. Without immediately trying to fix their problems or offer unsolicited advice. Just creating that safe, non-judgmental space for them to express themselves. That can be incredibly validating.
Validating their feelings seems key too.
Absolutely key. Instead of dismissing or minimizing what they're going through, acknowledge it. Simple phrases like, that sounds really difficult.
Or, I can see how that would make you feel.
Exactly. That makes a profound difference in how supported someone feels.
What else?
It also gently reminds us to respect their pace of healing. Mental health recovery, it's not linear, is it?
No, definitely not. Ups and downs.
So pressuring someone to just get over it or snap out of it.
Never help. Rarely, if ever, helpful. But offering practical support can be.
Practical support, like?
Tangible things. Even small gestures. Bringing over a meal, offering a ride somewhere, sending a simple text just to check in. It shows you care in a concrete way.
Little things can mean a lot.
They really can, and it calls on each of us to actively challenge stigma whenever we encounter it.
How do we do that?
Speak up against harmful jokes or misinformation about mental health. Share accurate information when you can. Every little bit helps create a more understanding culture.
Okay. Good point.
Importantly, the blog also wisely advises us to know our own limits.
Right. We're not all therapists.
Exactly. We can offer support, be a caring presence, but unless that's our training, we're not equipped to be their sole source of professional help.
So recognizing when someone might need more.
Yes. And gently encouraging them to explore professional options. That's a vital part of being supportive.
Okay. And ultimately?
Ultimately, it comes back to the fundamental power of consistent support. Showing up again and again.
With patience.
With patience, empathy, and that unconditional acceptance. Those consistent acts of kindness can make a world of difference.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Well put. So the blog concludes by reminding us that Mental Health Awareness Month, it's really more than just hashtags or brief chats.
It's an opportunity.
A genuine opportunity for reflection, for learning, for taking meaningful action in our own lives and our communities.
And recommitting to building a world where mental well-being is actually prioritized.
Prioritized, destigmatized, and where compassion is just our natural response.
It emphasizes that whether you focus on your own well-being, supporting someone else, or advocating for bigger changes.
Every action matters. No matter how small it seems, it contributes to something significant, something positive.
Okay. And the article provides specific resources too, right, for immediate help.
Yes, really concrete and immediate help, a comprehensive categorized list.
Great. So for general support and information.
It points to organizations like the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI, Mental Health America, and the Jed Foundation, which does great work with young adults and teens.
Okay, NAMI, Mental Health America, Jed Foundation, and for crisis or immediate help.
Vital resources there. The U.S. 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. You can call or text 988 anytime or chat online at 988lifeline.org.
988. Easy to remember.
Very. Also, the crisis text line, text HOME to 741741. And the Trevor Project, specifically for LGBTQIA plus young people, their number is 1-866-488-7386 or text START to 678-678.
Good to know those specific resources exist. And for particular communities or topics?
Yes, it lists the Black Mental Health Alliance, the Asian Mental Health Collective, the National Institute of Mental Health, NIMH, for research and info, and the Veterans Crisis Line. Call 988, then press 1, or text 838-255.
Lots of tailored support.
Okay.
And finding therapists or groups?
For finding a therapist, it recommends the Psychology Today Therapist Directory. Also, Open Path Collective, which offers lower-cost therapy options.
That's really helpful.
And NAMI support groups for that invaluable peer connection.
Okay, Psychology Today, Open Path, NAMI groups. That's a solid list.
And alongside all these resources, the blog reinforces that really important message.
Yeah, that reaching out isn't weakness.
Absolutely not. It's an act of incredible courage. And it's a reminder that you're absolutely never alone in whatever you're facing. Healing is possible.
Recovery is possible.
Yes. So as we bring this deep dive to a close, thinking about why mental health truly matters for all of us, a few key things really stand out, don't they?
Definitely. Mental health is just integral to overall well-being. We saw how it impacts everything.
Every single aspect. And because of that deep interconnectedness, it really is a shared responsibility. We all have a role to play.
And those proactive steps, the self-care habits we build, and the compassionate support we offer others. The blog makes it so clear. These aren't just like nice things to do.
No, they're vital. Absolutely vital for building a healthier, more resilient society for everyone.
So Mental Health Awareness Month serves as this powerful, timely reminder, right?
A reminder to break the silence. To actively challenge the stigma that unfortunately still persists.
Yeah, it really does. So as you go about your day, maybe we can leave you with a couple of thoughts to mull over.
Okay.
First, what's one small, manageable habit you could consciously implement, maybe starting today, to actively nurture your own mental well-being? Just one small thing.
And second, what's one genuine way you could reach out and offer support to someone in your life, even if you're not sure if they need it? Just a small gesture.
And then think about how these seemingly small actions, if we all did them, multiplied across communities. How might that contribute to a much larger, more meaningful shift?
A shift in how we collectively view and prioritize mental health.
Exactly. Definitely something worth reflecting on. Thanks for going on this little adventure with me today.
Anytime.
And listener, keep sprinkling that fairy dust, all right? We'll see you next time.